Hey, everybody. This is Pastor Travis from AOL Church, and I want to thank you for joining us on our podcast. I pray this inspires you, encourages you, and leads you to your next step to connect with God. Enjoy the message.
I'm talking about the Lion of the tribe of Judah. Are you ready this morning? Please stand for the reading of the word, Revelation chapter 4. It says, "Then suddenly, after I wrote down these messages, I saw a heavenly portal open before me. And the same trumpet voice I heard speaking with me at the beginning broke the silence and said, 'Ascend into this realm. I want to reveal to you what must happen after this.' Instantly, I was taken into the spirit realm, and behold, I saw a heavenly throne set in place and someone seated upon it. His appearance was sparkling like crystal and glowing like a carnelian gemstone. Surrounding the throne was a circle of green light like an emerald rainbow. Encircling the great throne were 24 thrones, and with elders in glistening white garments seated upon them, each wearing a golden crown of victory. And pulsing from the throne were blinding flashes of lightning, crashes of thunder, and voices. And burning before the throne are seven blazing torches, which represent the seven spirits of God. And in front of the throne there was pavement like a crystal sea of glass. And around the throne on each side stood four living creatures full of eyes in front and behind. The first living creature resembled a lion, the second an ox. The third had a human face, and the fourth was like an eagle in flight. Each of the four living creatures had six wings full of eyes all around and under their wings. They worshiped without ceasing day and night, singing, 'Holy, holy is the Lord God, the Almighty, the was, the is, and the coming.' And whenever the living creatures gave glory, honor, and thanks to the one who is enthroned and who lives forever and ever, the 24 elders fell face down before the one seated on the throne. How many of you know this day's coming? And they worshiped the one who lives forever and ever. And they surrendered their crowns before the throne, singing, 'You are worthy, our Lord and God. You are worthy, our Lord and God, to receive glory, honor, and power. For you created all things, and by your plan they were created and exist.'" Come on, how many of y'all know we serve the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords? God, we worship you this morning. We thank you for your word, that it's a lamp unto our feet and it's a light unto our path. I pray that this morning as we study your word, I pray that my lips would be like the pen of a ready writer. Lord, I just pray that you're opening eyes to see, ears to hear. And Lord, may we leave here changed, having a revelation as we study the book of Revelation. Of you, that you're coming for your church. Lord, I pray for the church right now. May it wake up. May it wake up in Jesus' mighty name. I pray, God, that we'd be full of the oil. The Spirit of God is upon us to heal the brokenhearted, set the captives free. I pray that we're handled by God, that you direct our steps. We hear your voice and the voice of a stranger we will and shall not follow. I pray, God, today that we would leave here wanting to be a mouthpiece. May the roar of the lion roar in us. We choose not to be silent anymore, but we choose to stand up and ward against the enemy. Use the voice that you've put on the inside of us, guided by the Holy Spirit. And Lord, may we carry your presence. May we carry your power. May we carry your fire and be the lampstand you've called us to be. In Jesus' name, and everybody said, amen. Come on, everybody said, amen. Come on, look at your neighbor this morning and say, neighbor. Come on, look at your neighbor and say, neighbor. You're looking good. All right. Praise the Lord. Hopefully you got some brownie points with your wife or your husband, whatever it is. Amen. Doesn't it feel good to be in the house of the Lord? You know what? Governors, Nero, Newsom, Polis in Colorado, he's canceling Thanksgiving. Governors and mayors are canceling things all over, but I'm telling you what, we are not canceling church, and we are going to be in the house of God. Amen? Thank God. Thank God for our First Amendment, amen? Aren't you thankful for the people and Constitution that were led by the Holy Spirit to write out such a great Constitution for America? And I come to you this morning, flew in late last night from Washington, D.C. I was at the Million Mega Rally yesterday. Hey, I had a big time. But I'm here to tell you, I'm more excited to preach Revelation 4 this morning because of where I've came from. Because I'm telling you, I believe this, whether who's in presidency or not, it's very important that the people of God get a roar on the inside of them. I'm telling you, I just come from a place where people are in my face. They encircled around me, called me every name in the book, wanted me to bow down, say Black Lives Matter. And I was in the heat of all of that. But greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. And I tell you, we get very comfortable where we are, but I'm here to bring something to your attention this morning that we can't be comfortable anymore. It's very easy for conservative people to be conservative and not have a voice, but I believe it's time. You know, so many people, I'm going to talk about the Lion of the Tribe of Judah this morning, and so many people want to think about the Lamb, the merciful Lamb. And thank God, come on, let's just thank God for the Lamb that was slain for mankind. How many of y'all thankful? There's three of you that are thankful for the Lamb that was shed for you and me. Come on, give God praise that he's the Lamb. He was the Lamb, but now he's the Lion. And I'm here to tell you, people, that we need to get a roar on the inside of each and every one of us. And I hope you've been blessed by this series of Revelation. Revelations 1, we went 4 weeks of that. Revelation chapter 2, just got through with the seven churches. How many of y'all gleaned something from that? I hope you got something. And you say, Pastor, which church is us? All seven of them. All seven of them. It's in completion. So we need to open our eyes to see and our ears to hear. But here we are, Revelation chapter 4. Revelation chapter 4. Sorry, Dr. Charlie. You got on to me the other day. It's not Revelations, it's Revelation. But the book of Revelation here begins with a dramatic vision. John experiences this also at Patmos. He's still at Patmos here, but in Revelations 1 we see it. When then I turned to see. We see that in Revelation chapter 1 and verse 12. Now, the second coming unfolding of John's vision begins in chapter 4 here with what amounts to that same phrase repeated again, after these things I looked. See, in chapter 1, when he looked, he saw the seven golden lampstands. And the seven golden lampstands, according to the end of chapter 1, represents the church. And can I remind the people of God, now more than ever, it's important that when people turn and look at us, they see Jesus on the inside of us. It's important that they see God on the inside of us. Can I just ask you, are you people of fear or are you people of faith? Because people need to see people of faith right now. Are you people that's carrying the light or are you somebody that's carrying darkness? When you leave these, can you honestly look at yourself and say, I'm carrying the light that comes from Jesus, or are you carrying darkness? Are you somebody who's carrying joy? You know what America needs right now in Walmart? The joy of the Lord is my strength. In your pajamas, I don't care, but you need to let people know that you have joy, unspeakable and full of glory. Amen? I've got the joy, 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 joy. Where? Where? All right, very good. You need to have joy. And when people look and see you, they need to see Jesus and joy bursting out of you. It says a door standing open in heaven. I read it in the beginning from the Passion Translation, but I'm going to unfold it to you today from the New King James. A door standing open in heaven, an open door image. How many of y'all know this is not strange to us, especially from Pastor Robert's teaching on Wednesday nights about a door? We know this. We saw this in the church at Philadelphia. We also remember that Isaiah the prophet, he prophesied that God's Messiah would open David's door in Isaiah 22, 22. But it says heaven here. And it's used in at least three ways through the book of Revelation. I don't have time to get into that, but we see it in chapter 3 and verse 12. It's a place of God's dwelling when he's talking to the church at Philadelphia. The second thing we see heaven as is a description of the cosmic order of creation, a place of conflict in chapter 12 and verse 7. But we also see heaven in chapter 6 and verse 13 of Revelation as a common description of the sky. And so he says, a door standing open up in heaven. The next thing he goes to, it's like a trumpet. And this is repetition. We see this in chapter 1. It says, megaphone, when he hears the trumpet of Jesus speaking, it's like a trumpet. How many of y'all know we should hear his voice and the voice of a stranger we will and shall not follow? We need to be at a place where we hear his voice over every other voice of the enemy, every other voice of culture, every other voice that systems of this world try to jam down your throat like a lamb led to the slaughter. We need to hear God's voice louder than we've ever heard it before, like a trumpet. Amen? Like a trumpet. But as we see this, then I turn to see a door standing open up in heaven like a trumpet. This is a description of the rapture. And we read about this in Revelations, but in 1 Corinthians 15, it says, in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet, for the trumpet will sound, and the dead will be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. How many of y'all thankful for that great day in the sky? Amen. He's given a description here of what had happened, and he is going through the open door. It's like he's witnessing a rapture moment right there. See, I'm telling you today, as we talk about the Lion of the tribe of Judah, he's coming back as the lion. And when he roars, there's going to be an open door for us to go through. John then has this vision of the one who is seated upon the throne. The vision is filled with movement, sounds, and color. I love the word of God, how it's descriptive. As we've been studying on Wednesday nights, there's not just words in there just for words to fill up pages. Everything is inscripted by the power of the Holy Spirit. The vision of the flood of the Old Testament symbols and experience from the Old Testament are prophetic and apocalyptic visions. And there are similarities to the visions here. And also we see it in Isaiah in the year that King Uzziah died in Isaiah 6. You can reference to that. There are even more similarities in the vision we see in Ezekiel 1. And I'm going to talk a lot about Ezekiel 1 and the vision and prophetic that he has there. The green jasper, the jade, the sardis, the red sardius, cornelian. Those colors and those gems remind us of the breastplate stones that the high priest wore in Exodus 28. Pastor Robert, I'm sure we'll be talking about that, won't we? All right. The 24 elders may refer to the 24 elders. I've read several different commentaries of what people think this is, but I think it's the 24 priestly divisions who conducted the worship of Israel according to the tradition of the Levites. The elders in the vision seem to represent the saints of God in the act of worship, just as Levitical priests represented Israel in the worship of the temple. But the thing that I want to get to today, as we've been talking about Jesus, everybody say Jesus. We've seen Jesus in Revelation chapter 1, the resurrected Jesus, as he comes to the Apostle John at a place in his life that he needed him the most. I'm here to tell you, you cry out to the Lord and he will come to you. The Bible says, he who calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And in this dark moment, he comes to him. But as he goes up there, it says in verse 7, the first living creature was like a lion. The second living creature, like a calf. The third living creature had a face like a man. And the fourth living creature was like a flying eagle. Or the Greek says, like an eagle that is in flight. All four of these are faces towards the Messiah. In fact, in Ezekiel, when he has a vision of this, he sees all these four faces. And what I love about Scripture, God does things in decency and in order. It's an order of all the four Gospels of what we see in Scripture, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. See, when it refers to the lion, he talks about it. You can go to the book of Matthew, that he is the King of Kings and he is the Lord of Lords. We see in Matthew chapter 5, 6, and 7, wrote by a Jew to Jewish people, he's getting their attention through the Beatitudes. Blessed are those, seek ye first the kingdom of God, and all these things will be added unto you. He talks about the meek. He talks about the poor in spirit. And what he's doing as a king, he says, all these things that you see in this culture of kingdom is different from the kingdom I'm talking about. I'm talking about the kingdom of heaven. And we need to live on this earth today like it's the kingdom of heaven. How many of you know in our finances, we need to have the kingdom of heaven in our finances? How many of y'all know in our relationships, we need to have the kingdom of heaven in our relationships? In everything that we do, and he's trying to paint a picture. In fact, when they crucified him, what'd they say? They said, Jesus, King of the Jews. He's known as the Lion in Matthew. He's in Mark's gospel, he's known as the Ox, as the lowly servant. Cast all your cares on him, for he cares for you. He came to this world. See, every a beast or a beast of burden or an ox, he's told exactly what to do. And he came to this earth and he bore sin on his back. He took it for you and he took it for me. He's the ox in the book of Mark. In the book of Luke, we see the genealogy of Mary. We see that he came to this earth and he came through the door. He came through the birth canal. Aren't you thankful that we serve a God that was tempted in all three ways as man, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eye, and the pride of life, but he did not fall to sin because he is the precious lamb, spotless lamb of God. He's the man. And the fourth thing in the book of John, we see the story of Lazarus, how he raised Lazarus from the dead. He is the eagle in flight. Everybody said that he was dead, but before he hit the ground on the third day, come on, Christians, he rose again. And he's the eagle in the book of John. What we see with the lion is he is the mightiest of all the wild beasts. Oh, I just can't wait to be king, right? We see that a lion is the king of the jungle. The mightiest domestic animal is a bull or an ox. How many of you know we serve a mighty God? The mightiest of all is a man. A man can take dominion over the fish of the sea, the birds of the air. And the mightiest bird that flies is the eagle. Aren't you thankful we serve a God that is mighty? He's mighty. He's not just a little animal. Aren't you thankful that we don't serve a chipmunk? We serve the lion of the king of Judah. Amen? We sing about the lion. God's not dead. He's surely alive. He's living on the inside. He's roaring like a lion. We sing the song, The Lion and the Lamb. But I'm here to tell you today, he's coming back for his church as the lion. He's coming back with great power, and he's coming as the great judge. We saw that as he walked, feet of brass, he's coming in humanity and judgment, and he's coming to judge not only the world, but he's coming to judge the church. He's coming to judge you and me. In Revelations 5:5, it says, and one of the elders said to me, weep no more. Behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the root of David, has conquered so that he can open the scroll and its seven seals. The Lion of the tribe of Judah. This is an old prophecy from the day of Jacob. And since I've been talking a lot about history, I thought I would tell you a little bit of the history of the Lion of the tribe of Judah. Judah was the fourth son of Israel or of Jacob. You know, there's 12 sons. The oldest was named Reuben. And Reuben, he slept with one of his dad's wives. So that took him out of the birthright. How many of y'all know that will take you out of the birthright? If you don't know that, that's biblical. Don't do that. Levi and Simeon, we know this about the number two and number three brother, or his sons. We know this about Levi and Simeon. One of their sisters began to see one of the neighboring tribes. They went over there and they ruthlessly attacked them and killed them. So they were out of the birthright. And so it came down to Judah, and on the deathbed of Jacob, or of Israel, he begins to pour out the birthright to Judah, the fourth son of Jacob. The birthright would be like the oldest son would definitely get it, or if after him, if he was dead, the second or the third. But because of the sin in their life and the things that they did, it passed on now to Judah, the fourth son. And so Jacob gave Judah leadership over the whole tribe. And if you have your Bibles, open them to Genesis chapter 49. We'll see this in verse 8. It says, Judah, your brothers shall praise you. The word Judah means this. It means praise. Those of you that have been studying the tabernacle, you see this, that who leads the tabernacle? Who leads the tabernacle? Judah, the tribe of Judah. You know why? Because we need to see a picture in our life. We need to be led with praise. You know, in the darkest moments in your life, I've already said this, if you could just think about, look what the Lord has done. Not to get all Pentecostal on you this morning. But in those moments when you're watching the news, when everything's falling apart, or you open up some mail that you didn't want to receive, or you get a call from the doctor of a bad report of something that he's done. Rick, it's so good to see you in church, brother. We're believing for complete healing in your body. But sometimes, how many of you know, Rick, Camille, you need to be reminded, you know what, if God got me out of this thing 2 years ago, God will get me out of the thing that I'm in right now. Look what the Lord has done. He healed my body. He touched my mind. He saved me just in time. Oh, I'm gonna. Come on, John, get up here. Wait, the piano's not working. Whatever. How many of you know you need to be led with praise in your life? You need to be led with praise. And he's trying to paint a picture of the tabernacle. I'm going to have the people of praise out in front of me. Judah, he says, your brothers shall praise you. Now down the lineage of Judah, we know this about David. David is of the lineage of Judah. And he said about Saul, when the women came in and they were praising after he killed Goliath, Saul has killed his thousands, but David has killed his tens of thousands. There was praise there. David was praised when he killed Goliath. Ultimately, most of the praise, though, how many of you know everything points to Jesus, that he is the lineage of Judah. Your hand shall be the neck. I love this. This is prophecy that unfolds just a few books down the road to 1 Samuel. Your hand, so he's speaking to Judah, your hand shall be on the neck of your enemies. Your father's son shall bow down before you. What happened with Judah when he killed Goliath? He picks him up by the neck, and he fulfills the prophecy. In verse 9, it says, Judah is a lion's cub. From the prey, my son, you have gone up. He stooped down. He crouched as a lion. And as a lioness, who dares rouse him? To get a good picture of the lion of the tribe of Judah, we need to know some things about a lion. If you've ever watched the Discovery Channel, you know this. When a lion makes a kill, he doesn't worry about some other animal coming along and eating his food. He eats in peace. Why? Because he is the king of the jungle. When he makes a kill, he eats it in peace. He doesn't eat it in secret. They may count votes in secret. Just saying. But he doesn't eat in secret. How many of y'all know when a lion eats, he eats at rest? He is confident of his place. That's what God said about Judah. And I'm here to tell the people of God this morning, we are in a relationship with Christ. And you can be at peace even in the midst of everything going on around you. No matter what's going on, no matter what the news is saying, I'm telling you what, right now, we still have a dog in the fight. Amen? And you need to have the lion of the tribe of Judah on the inside of you. Now's not a time to be weak. Now's not a time to have negativity coming out of your mouth. Now's a time to say out of your voice, I am an overcomer. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. See, when you do things in secret, that means you got sin in your life. And you're not letting the lion of the tribe of Judah come out of you. I'm here to paint a picture to you this morning. If you're going to have Judah in that lion that you need to be bold, the wicked flee when no man pursues, but the righteous are as bold as a lion. The righteous are as bold as a lion. See, when we have sin in our life, we want to get in a corner and get in dark places of things that are happening in us. But when we are righteous, we are bold as a lion. We do things at rest. We do things at peace with greater is he that's in us than he that is in the world. I'm here to tell you this blessing passes on to you and me as a believer. Blessed by God instead of being fearful that something is going to take it. We are at rest. We need to get the spirit of Katy Perry on the inside of us. You're gonna hear me roar. Some of y'all know what I'm talking about. That wasn't a good Katy Perry. Maybe it was. I don't know. Verse 10, you guys with me? It says, the scepter shall not depart from Judah, nor the ruler's staff from between his feet. He said, there's going to be a king, and a line of kings are going to come out of Judah. In the book of Matthew, we see the lineage of Joseph. We know that he is the stepdad of Jesus. He's not the dad. How many of y'all know he's righteous seed? He's righteous seed. So this is what happens is he prophesies this to him. He prophesies to him and says, the king of the world is going to come from your seed, Judah. So it goes from, if you read in Matthew in the beginning, from Abraham to David, all the way to Joseph, it's Judah. But the kings of that day, the king, the Caesar of that time, was not of the lineage of Judah. It couldn't be that way. See, we see in Jeremiah, we see that Jehoiakim and Jehoiachin, or whatever his name is, he curses him and says, because of the sin and you tattooing the gods of this age on your life, it stops with you. And there was other kings that came that weren't of the tribe of Judah to reign in Israel. But how many of y'all know it had to be a king that would come that wasn't of this world? It may have been the line and the bloodline of it, but it couldn't be a king because the kings of that age had sin in their life. And we had to have a king that didn't come from a lineage of sin. We had a righteous seed that came, and his name is Jesus. And that's why Caesar was intimidated by him, and he should have been intimidated by him. He came to be the king. How many of y'all know he is the king? He's the King of Kings, and he is the Lord of Lords. You guys getting anything out of this morning? He says, the scepter shall not depart from Judah, nor the ruler's staff from between his feet, until tribute comes to him, and to him shall be the obedience of the peoples. In verse 10 in the King James, it says, the scepter shall not depart from Judah, nor a lawgiver from between his feet, until Shiloh come. That's Jesus. Unto him shall the gathering of the people be. He is saying out of Judah will come a ruler that will not only reign in Israel, but will rule the whole world. In verse 11, it says, binding his foal to the vine. This is prophecy. Binding his foal to the vine and his donkey colt to the choice vine, he has washed his garments in wine and his vestures in the blood of grapes. He's talking about the provision of God. This also points to the cross. And it fulfills the prophecy in Zechariah chapter 9 and verse 9. It says, rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout aloud, O daughter of Jerusalem. Behold, your king is coming to you. Righteous and having salvation is he. Humble and mounted on a donkey, on a colt, on the foal of a donkey. I know this is lots of scripture, but I'm trying to get a roar on the inside of you. So now you fast forward to the book of Matthew, where he is known as the King of Kings. Matthew chapter 21, it says, saying to them, verse 2, go into the village opposite you, and immediately you will find a donkey tied and a colt with her. If you say Jesus wasn't a cowboy, you done lost your mind. Loose them and bring them to me. And if anyone says anything to you, you shall say, the Lord has need of them. And immediately he will send them. And this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the prophet, saying, tell the daughter of Zion, behold, your king. Everybody say king. Your lion, your king is coming to you, lowly and sitting on a donkey, a colt, the foal of a donkey. Isn't this good? Is this opening eyes to see and ears to hear? How many of y'all know he's the King of Kings? How many of you know he's the Lion of the tribe of Judah? In Hosea chapter 5, Hosea is prophesying throughout the inspiration of the Holy Spirit about the Messiah. And he says in Hosea, if you want to go there, Hosea chapter 5 and verse 14, he says, for I will be like a lion to Ephraim and like the young lion to the house of Judah. What he's doing here is the Lord is talking and he's saying, I'm coming down to Israel. And I'm not coming just to the southern kingdom of Judah. I'm coming to Israel proper. See, both Israel and Judah. And in Hosea's day, you need to know this, the country had been split into two different nations. And he said, I'm going to touch all of Israel. I'm going to be like the lion of the tribe of Judah. Goes on in verse 14, he says, I will tear and go away. I will carry off and no one shall rescue. He said, I'm going to tear. You know what Jesus did when he came? And I've talked about this a little bit already. But in the book of Matthew, what Jesus did when he came is he tore. He tore some things off the belief of what they've been taught by other kings. But he came in and said, we're not to be of this kingdom. We're to be of a kingdom of heaven. And see, he preached a message that divided the country. Some said he's the Messiah. Others said that he wasn't. So what did he do? It divided the nation. What does a lion do when he gets a hold of something? He tears it apart and he eats the best part of the meat. And I'm here to tell the people of God this morning, you need to be very careful of what kind of meat is getting into your body. Amen. I'm telling you what, I am ashamed at so-called men and women of God or even believers that got behind the left movement of America. Shame on them. Shame on them. It's disgusting. You know what you need? You know, there's a movement out there that's teaching a message that's watered down, that's weak, that's lame. I'm telling you, if you're going to have a lion on the inside of you, you need to get the meat of the Word of God on the inside of you. Not something simple, not something mundane, not something watered down, but this is why we're studying the book of Revelation right now, because you need to get a revelation of what God has done for you, for your family, for your generation, what he's done for America. Come on, somebody. What he's done for us. See, what has happened is there is a division inside of the nation, and there is ones that are eating the meat. And I'm here to tell the people eating meat today, you need to get a roar on the inside of you. Don't just eat the meat. You need to have a roar on the inside of you. Open your eyes to see. Open your ears to hear. When a lion is done, all that's left is just a little bit of remains. And who eats that? The vultures. I tell you what. I don't want to be caught dead with vultures. I want to be caught with the lion's pack. Come on. That's ready to fight the good fight of faith. That's ready to go from glory to glory. Come on, who am I? Am I talking to Christians this morning that want to fight the good fight of faith? Come on, we need to get some meat on the inside of us. He would tear and see everything, anything that's left over. The vultures get that. And this is exactly what happened to Israel. Christ came and he tore the country apart. All the righteous people followed the Messiah. Read it, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Multitudes of them. Those that rejected and hated him, they were left behind. I tell you what, I don't want to live in a time and place in my walk with Christ where I'm left behind. I want to go where he's called me to go. I want to do what he's called me to do. I want to say what he's called me to say. In Hosea 5:15, it says, I will return again to my place until they acknowledge their guilt and seek my face. And in their distress, earnestly seek me. This is exactly what Christ did. Go into all the world and preach the gospel. How is it that he's coming back? Now go to Hosea chapter 6 and verse 1. It says, come, let us return to the Lord. For he has torn us that he may heal us. For he has struck us down and he will bind us up. See, God judged them in the beginning, but then he's going to restore them. Isn't it amazing when we're at a broken place in our life, God can piece us back together? We need to come before him broken. Same God that judged them is going to put them back together again. Aren't you thankful we serve a God of mercy and grace? But that's not all that he is. He is a God of judgment. There's a lion in him that tears things apart. Hosea 6 and verse 2, I don't mean to go so fast, but I have so much word in this text that it's hard to all get it all in one. Hosea 6 and verse 2, it says, after 2 days, he will revive us. Now listen to this. After 2 days, he will revive us. On the third day, he will raise us up that we may live before him. Somewhere around 2,000 years after he left, he will put them back together. Why do I say that? It says after 2 days, he will revive us. He's prophesying the end. 2 Peter 3 and verse 8 says, but do not overlook this one fact, beloved, that with the Lord, 1 day is 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is 1 day. So it's somewhere after 2,000 years that he's coming back, and he's coming back for you and me. And he's coming as the Lion of the tribe of Judah. It says in Hosea 6 and verse 3, let us know, let us press on to know the Lord. He is going out and as sure as the dawn. In the King James Version, I love it, the word is more properly fixed, as prepared in the morning, as in the morning. So in the mind of God, there is a day, there is an hour, there is a minute, there is a second that Christ will return for the church. Come on, you ought to give God praise for that. No one knows the day or the hour, but he does. He knows the day. He knows the hour. He knows the minute. He knows the very second that he's going to come back. And we don't know when that is, but we know the season. Talks about 2,000 years. So it could be, here's the season, anytime. It could come at any time. I'm here to wake the church of God up this morning. How many of y'all know he's coming back, and he's coming back at any time? It says in Hosea 6, verse 3, it keeps going. It says, he will come to us as the showers, as the spring rains that water the earth. In the King James Version, he says, the former and the latter, they rain together. You need to know this about Israel. Israel has two rainy seasons a year. And Hosea is prophesying that the Messiah comes twice, just like the rain comes twice. The first time that he came, instead of restoring the nation, he divided it like a lion. He divided it because the nation wasn't ready and it wasn't right. Scripture says the Messiah comes twice, and he comes as the Lion of the tribe of Judah. He's coming. People of God, he is coming, and he's coming for you and me. You know, I was thinking about this. The lion is the face that a lot of people don't like to talk about. We like to talk about in the movement of today in Christianity, thank God for his grace. I love his grace. Thank God for his mercy. Thank God for his love. And there's a bunch of weenie beliefs out there today, and I'm not saying, you know, I'm not casting down judgment on any one person. But I am here to tell you, as the people of God and as a pastor over a flock, be very careful what you're listening to. Be very careful. Thank God for the Lamb. Thank God for the Lamb that was shed. Thank God for the blood that was shed for you and me. But I'm here to wake up the church. Come on, we need to wake up. We need to wake up. Wake up. You know what we need to wake up to? 1.2 million people I marched with down to the Supreme Court, to Capitol Hill. And not one target got set on fire. But yet they say who's in office now is the one pushing hate. It's divided. And I'm telling you, you want to be on the right side of the line. I'm telling you, I want to be on the scrimmage line with the Lion of the tribe of Judah that pushes righteousness, that pushes good seed. Amen? A lot of people don't like to talk about the Lion because it's judgment. It's humanity. It's those things that he's coming back. They don't like to think about it. It's not a face that we hear a lot of preaching about today. Very popular today to present Jesus as very kind, very loving, holding the Lamb. Accepting and that approves of everything that you do. Jesus loves you just like you are. He loves you. But there's some things he may tear away from you. Am I making some sense this morning? He loves you. But there's some things, the Word of God says it's like a sword. And I'm telling you, now's not the time to live in offense. Now's not the time to be bothered by something that somebody did to you 5 years ago, 5 months ago, 5 minutes ago. Now's the time to rise up and let a lion roar out of you. Hey, can I tell you something? You know, one of the reasons that I went to Washington, D.C., we need to let our voice be heard. You know, if they can set things on fire and they can get all of that attention, I'm telling you, I want to be a part of the movement that is part of something that is good. That is good. We need to open. We need to be at a place right now where we let that roar on the inside of us. I'm here to talk to the dads this morning. Is there a roar on the inside of you? Come on, dads. Are you walking around? You know what I did this morning? I walked around and I prayed in the Holy Spirit. I want my kids to hear me praying in the Holy Spirit. Why? I need some lion cubs to get a roar on the inside of them. Come on, I'm talking to some dads and some moms this morning. Are you a voice? Are you a part of PTA that says, you know what, that's not right. That's an agenda that they're trying to push on us. I'm not going to be a part of that. I'm going to open up my voice, and I'm going to be bold like a lion. And that's how we are right now. We're like sheep led to the slaughter, and I don't know about you, but church, you need to get a roar on the inside of you. You need to get a praise on the inside of you. He healed my body. He touched my mind. He saved me just in time. Oh, I'm gonna praise his name. He saved me just the same. Come help me praise him. Look what the Lord has done. Amen. Come on, stand to your feet this morning. Stand to your feet this morning. I'm here to ask the people of God this morning. I'm here to ask you, is there a roar on the inside of you? Is there a roar on the inside of you? You say, oh, and you know what? It is what it is. It just is what it is. No, it is what it is. You know, just giving up and throwing in the towel, it is what it is. I had a video this week that I put out there because I'm just so fired up of people saying, you know what? We made it through 8 years of bad leadership and commiecrats. I tell you what, it's totally different now. It's totally different now. The church needs to wake up. The church needs to be a voice. I tell you what, if you do anything, do it for my kids. You may not want to do it for yours, but do it for mine. I got surrounded by BLM Friday night. I mean surrounded, in my face. Called me every name in the book. Said, let me guess. You've worked for everything you have. As a matter of fact, I have. I have. I said, you have a job? No, we don't have a job. You know, when people don't have purpose, they have nothing to live for. And I tell you what, I will fight for my kids to have purpose in this life. I will fight for my children. I tell you what, I'm ready to put my dukes up. And you know what? You may start out and you may sound like Simba going through puberty. I'm not kidding you. I was with some guys, they were new believers. They said, how you do this? I said, well, let's go to some cops. Can you imagine being a cop in Washington, D.C. right now? I said, cops, can we just pray for you? Well, how do we pray for them? I tell you what, and I begin to see these guys in the beginning, they were scared, they were shaking, they didn't know what to pray. And you may, at the beginning, you may sound like Simba, but I'm telling you, there's gonna come a time where you get something on the inside of you that you begin to get into scripture. And you say, you know what? There ain't no devil in hell that can bring me down. There ain't no devil in hell that's going to tell me what to do. Come on, you get a voice on the inside of you. It may start out this big, but it's going to get this big. And you get a voice on the inside of you and say, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I am more than a conqueror. Greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. I'm going to let Lion of the tribe of Judah roar through me. When I'm at Walmart, there's going to be a lion there. When I'm at Tootin' Totem, there's going to be a lion there. Come on, you get a voice on the inside of you. He's not dead. He's surely alive, and he's living like a lion on the inside of you and me. How many of you thankful? You don't serve a God that's a statue that's fat in a corner made of gold, but you serve a God that is alive, and he is coming as the Lion of the tribe of Judah. Come on, roar this morning. Come on, roar this morning. You know what? I know the music was messed up. There's a devil we need to cast out of the piano. But I hope you leave here this morning knowing that you serve the King. Not a king, you serve the King. And we need to stand up. I know they're already talking. They're going to shut things down. They ain't going to shut me down. They ain't going to shut me down. And please, please, and I say this, use wisdom. I mean, if you're sick, you have symptoms, don't come. Although I will say this, you come see me and I'll lay my hands. I ain't afraid. I'll lay my hands on you. Use wisdom. Be smart about it. But I'm just here to tell you, don't get weak right now. Now's not the time to get weak. The scripture says that the devil roams about like a roaring lion. Like one. He's a kitten. I tell you what, you have the lion on the inside of you, church. You know, this is an exciting moment, and I love what God's doing in this place. But I want to call out the people this morning. I want to call out the ones that you're in secret. You're doing things in secret. Now's not the time to be in secret. Now's the time to eat in front of everybody in confidence. I tell you what, sin in your life will keep you separated and keep you in the dark. And we need to deal with that this morning. If you're in here in this room, with every head bowed, with every eye closed, if you're in this room today and you say, you know what, Pastor, I'm in secret. There's things in my life that I need to deal with this morning. I can't let a lion roar on the inside of me because of things that are in my life. It's keeping me weak. It's keeping me at a place that I'm not growing. I want to ask the people of God this morning, with every head bowed, with every eye closed, if you're in here and say, you know what, I don't know Jesus as my Lord and personal Savior. I can honestly say that I'm away from him. The Bible says he'll forgive you of your sins and cleanse you from all unrighteousness. And I believe by the Spirit of God, there's people in here. You say, you know what? I'm away from the Lord. I'm not close to him. But this morning, I want to get things right. He's the God that definitely dares, but he's the God that wants to fight for you and for me. So if you're in here and say, Pastor, I'm away from the Lord. Or maybe you've never asked Jesus to come live on the inside of you. Maybe there's sin in your life that separated you from him. You want to deal with those things this morning. Like I said before, he who calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. He'll throw the life raft out to you if you're drowning. Let's not leave here without knowing that Jesus is the Lord of our life. With every head bowed, with every eye closed, you say, you know what, Pastor, that's me. I need to get things right, or I need to come to the land of the living. If that's you, please pray this prayer with me. Say, Jesus, I believe you died on the cross, but on the third day, you rose again. Today, I know you're alive, and you're sitting at the right hand of the Father. You're the Lion of the tribe of Judah, and I invite you into my heart. Forgive me of my sins. Make me new. From this day forward, I'll follow you all the days of my life. In Jesus' name.
Thank you for joining us today. You can stay connected with us through our website, arenaoflifechurch.org, or follow us on Instagram or Facebook. God bless you and keep you.